Mr. Sitwell had finished work and was passing through the garden on his way to Prescott Avenue when he happened to look up at the house and see something he shouldn't have. One of the Barclays' current orphans was standing in the main hall, dressed in a gray shirt and dark blue knee pants, black stockings sagging above his brown shoes. The boy had his hands on his hips and head cocked to one side as he stared, transfixed by the antique starter pistol on the third shelf of Mrs. Barclay's Cabinet d'Objets. Mr. Sitwell frowned. The child had arrived from the asylum with two others 5 months before, and Miss Mamie, the cook who was in charge of their apprenticeship, told them the very first day that scullery boys were forbidden from loitering in the front of the house. Yet there the child was, just inside the window, for all the world to see. Mr. Sitwell watched him reach into the cabinet and pull the pistol out. He peeked inside the chamber, then spun around and pointed it 3 times. Left toward the velvet drapes, right toward the side table, and straight above him toward the chandelier. Then he smiled and mimicked the gesture of sliding the gun into an imaginary holster. When his game was finished, he put the pistol back and then turned and continued walking down the hall. But instead of heading toward the kitchen where he belonged, he moved farther away from it, toward the conservatory. Mr. Sitwell cocked his head and looked around the hall, trying to find the other two. The Barclays always brought orphans home in batches of 3, and following the example of the industrial college, always between the ages of 14 and 15, making them old enough to work, but not so old that, in Mr. Barclay's view, the clay had so far hardened that it could not be reformed. For the past 20 years, they had been brought in at regular intervals to learn a trade under the supervision of the cook. Mostly they washed dishes, but by doing so fulfilled Mrs. Barclay's sense of charitable obligation. The current orphans were extremely close, and Mr. Sitwell knew that if he saw one, the other two were sure to be nearby. They did everything together, and in fact, so favored one another that the first time he saw them, standing in a row on the kitchen porch with their hands clasped behind their backs for Miss Mamie's inspection, he'd had a hard time telling them apart. He'd soon realized that the easiest way to distinguish between them was to look for their scars. Frederick was the one with the 3 nasty welts running in parallel lines down his left cheek, a memento of a frantic fork slashing from a Southside butcher with whom he'd had an unfortunate run-in when he was 7. Mac was the one who'd lost part of his right ear to a stockyard dog when he was 8. The one loitering in the hall now was Bart. Mr. Sitwell knew it as soon as he started walking. Bart had a peculiar way of moving, a staggered hop step, caused by the fact that, due to circumstances he claimed he no longer remembered, he was missing the toes of his right foot. Bart hopped down the hall for a few moments and then stopped when he reached the door to the conservatory. Something, it seemed, was amiss with his trousers, and he reached down to make some adjustment to his buttons. When he was satisfied, he swung his arm behind him, grabbed a fistful of fabric from his rear, and lifted his right foot to shake out his pant leg. He set his foot down again, and after a couple more hops, disappeared through the conservatory door. Bart seemed awfully foolish. Mr. Sitwell's first thought was relief that he was not responsible for him, that all 3 boys were technically Miss Mamie's problem. But of course, Mr. Sitwell was the one who'd seen Bart, and having seen him, realized he had to make a choice. Either he would continue walking toward his streetcar stop as planned, or he would go back inside and drag Bart to the safety of the kitchen before any of the Barclays saw him too, in which case he would no doubt be sent packing. Then the door to Mr. Barclay's study opened, unleashing a wide swath of light just inside the window where Mr. Sitwell stood. He ducked down as a woman's voice called out, "Fine, Herbert, but remember this is not the Monte Carlo. We have not been to the Monte Carlo in a very long time."